You can now hear Film Actually on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
So worried, boy, we're not out of options yet. Marines have no qualms about killing Martians.
It'll be much less terrifying if you just come to me.
Martians got Mars!
Make love in the hammock!
What?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Actually, episode 103 for the 9th of October, 2010. Yes, we're here for another week. It is now officially our number one show on the network. I have a great time coming. And just a reminder to all those who are in the chat room right now, and for those listening on the audio, you may need to go to the video feed if you want to enter this. But in our forums, we are actually challenging all you guys to see what sort of film buffs you are, and to see if you can identify the opening clip that we play each week, because we play a different clip each week. And I've already started lining up the next 5 weeks' worth of clips. So some of them will be obscure, and some of them will be incredibly obvious. Last week's was incredibly obvious. This week's is a little bit more obscure. I am David McVeigh. I am your host, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm good, dude. I'm really, really good.
Fantastic.
I'm just really good.
Really, really good. Just really good. And you're just going to keep repeating that?
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. The coffee's still kind of kicking in, so it's kind of, I've got the energy, but not the mental capacity yet. So it's kind of like, energy! I don't know what I'm doing with
ball of energy with no direction.
You just described me in a nutshell, I think, Dave.
And we are also joined by Shane Gregory. How are you, Shane?
Very well, thank you.
Now, Shane was a last minute addition to the show, because I wasn't sure if you were going to get a chance to see the film that we're doing today, but you did. So it's good stuff. All right. So today we are actually going to review the film Buried, the new Ryan Reynolds film. And I think we've got some differencing opinions on this one. So it'll be very interesting to do that. What is this show? This is the official movie podcast of geekactually.com. And as I said at the beginning, it's our number one show. It has just taken off in popularity, which I think is fabulous. Yes. So it is my favorite.
It's nice, because you and me were really worried about that when we first
Yeah, when we first like, this separated.
This is our baby. We love Tick. Yeah, we love Tick, man, and we really do, but we're all about the film. Really.
Absolutely. This is where, look, we love Tick, we're geeks, we play with computers, we play with technology all the time, but the bottom line is, we are big, fat movie geeks, and we just love our movies to death, and I think I could quite honestly say our first passion, well, it is for me anyway, is movies. And it really comes down to, I just love this segment of the show. And this is why we always go overtime on this show.
Yeah, we do.
We always do. Now, before we get started today on doing our film review, normally we head off with a film review straight away, but I'm going to read this email because this was an email sent to us by our good friend Brad over at the Movie Fan House, moviefanhouse.com. And he's in our chat room right now, and I just thought, this is just fantastic. And he sent this email through, and he says, you could read this on the air if you want. And as soon as I read it, I went,
hell yeah,
of course I'm going to read this on the air. He says, and it's a little bit long-winded, and there might be some grammatical errors, but we're just going to read it through. He says that in the beginning of his email.
Oh, right.
He actually says, please forgive me if there are any grammatical errors. he wrote this from his iPhone, and we all know what that's like.
Okay? Say no more. That's say no more. All you needed to say.
Okay, so he says, hey, it's Brad from Movie Fan House Network. I just wanted to take a moment and express my appreciation for the massive love you guys show our podcasts. Every week I listen to your shows, and not a single week goes by that you don't get us a plug. You don't get us a plug, which is true. Yeah. You can find him at moviefanhouse.com. I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your shows to say, hey, listen to these guys' show. We experienced quite the jump in numbers over the past few weeks, and honestly, we want to believe this is to be a product of our quality of our shows, but realistically, it's a mixture of us and the shout-outs from all of our friends. Out of everyone we have met, albeit indirectly, you guys have been the greatest fans and supporters of us.
That's because you guys rule.
That's true. The network would not have the traffic nor the numbers if not for the Geek Actually crew. Though we have never met face-to-face, that's because you're on the other side of the goddamn world.
One day, man. One day. We're coming over for a preview. I'm coming to sleep on your couch.
One day they're going to say, hey, we're going to fly you guys out because you guys are so you know, incredibly powerful. And
I dream one day they'll just fly us over in the movie Fan House Jet.
These are the fantasies I sit in bed and, you know, believe. I close my eyes and what is that song? I want to be a billionaire so fucking bad. Yeah. All right. So anyway, it says, though we've not met face to face, I think you guys, I think of you guys as my friends, and I hope to be able to send as many good vibes your way because you deserve it. I cannot thank everyone there enough for all the support and wanted to say that it doesn't go unnoticed. We hope to continue to work alongside Geek Actually some more and wish you continued success in everything you do. Just know that Movie Fan House will always have your backs. Again, thanks for all your support. Your friend, Brad. You brought a tear to my eye,
seriously,
man.
Seriously, man. That is like the most lovely email I have seen in ages.
And I know it's a real pat on your back kind of email that, you know, a lot of podcasters don't like to read on air because they don't want to say, you know, they always cut off the bit that says love the show and all that sort of. No, I think every now and again it is nice to know that that kind of love is out there. You know?
Yeah, dude, it's nice to, like, we've got that kind of, like, network between the podcasts that we kind of work with.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and I listen to the Movie Fan Cast and Write This Instant every week. I always listen to you guys because, you know what, quite frankly, I like to disagree with you, too. So you know, we agree and we disagree on films, and that's fine, and that's what makes it all so interesting talking about films, because it is a completely subjective thing. There is no right or wrong answer to movies. What will appeal to one person doesn't appeal to another. Yeah. And we express our opinion on this show. We're not critics. We're not the Armand Whites of the world who sit there and say, I'm so classically trained, only my opinion means something. That's not what we're about. Just like Movie Fancast, we are fans. We are movie buffs. We have backgrounds in it. I trained as a filmmaker. You know, I have certificates on my wall for filmmaking.
I've been selling it.
Josh has been selling it for years. I've sold it for years. I worked in the retail aspect of it. You know, we just, movies are embedded in our souls, and we just love them so much that we just have to talk about them. And when we're hard on a film, it's not because we just hate the movie. Some of that comes from disappointment. Some of that comes from, see, that you want it to be good. Oh, I go to every movie.
All sorts of things to say about that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I go to every single movie hoping to like the film. I don't go to a movie hoping to destroy it. I even went to Last Airbender hoping I will like the movie. Yeah. You know, it doesn't always work out that way, but that's the way it is, you know? And sometimes films, they're guilty pleasures. In the after show, we've been talking about the fall TV season, and I've said, you know, that I watched Smallville. Now, Smallville is a terrible show. I have no pretense whatsoever that Smallville is a good show. But it's a guilty pleasure. And every Saturday night is Smallville night when season is in and I watch Smallville. I don't know why. I'm a geek. It's a superhero thing. There's special effects. What do you want from me? So, you know, and, you know, we just love this. And this is why this section of the film, this section of our show every Saturday is our favorite part, because we just get to openly discuss.
Exactly.
You know, yes, we do a little bit of news and we watch some trailers, but it's because we're really interested in what's happening in the industry.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, this is definitely our favorite part. And speaking of discussions, and speaking of, oh, and Brad is actually saying they've talked about this subject on their show, reviewers versus critics. And it's true. We are reviewers. We are a discussion podcast. We see a film every week and we discuss the film out. Sometimes we even change each other's minds on films. Sometimes we don't. You know, what the hell? And, you know, we all like films for all sorts of different reasons.
Yeah.
But we are going to review a film today, and it's going to be our first thing up today, which I think we do have some disagreements on. So we will let's get into this and say that the film that we are reviewing today is Buried, the new Ryan Reynolds starring film. And let's go through some details on this first, and we'll say that Buried is directed by Rodrigo Cortez. It's written by Chris Sparling. It stars Ryan Reynolds in a box. Basically. But there are voice actors who are also involved in this because he spends a great deal of his time on the phone. And so I've just listed a couple of these. There's actually, funnily enough, Josh and I went through it, 23 vocal credits given on this film.
That's
weird, there's a credit for extras casting. Pardon? Ryan Reynolds is in a box. Anyway, so these are the things we discuss, which I find very odd. But anyway, some of the voice performances on the phone are from Samantha Mathis, Robert Patterson, Jose Luis Garcia Perez, who is the voice of the terrorist, and my personal favorite, Stephen Tobolowsky. Now, Stephen Tobolowsky is, for those who don't know, was Fred Nyerson from Groundhog's Day.
Robert Pattinson as in...
No, not Pattinson. Patterson.
Right, Patterson. Yeah, I always get that
wrong. It's not the Twilight guy.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? He was in there?
No, Robert Pattinson. Now, the plot is very simple, and I wrote the plot myself this time because I think you couldn't get much more simple. So I just said the plot is simple and very Hitchcockian. Paul Conroy, played by Ryan Reynolds, wakes up to find himself bound and in a coffin buried under the ground. As the film unfolds, you learn that he is a truck driver under contract in Iraq. His convoy was hit, and he is being held for ransom. As time and air runs out, he desperately spends his time on the cell phone left by his captors trying to find a way out of the box. And that's it. That's basically the plot. And there's lots of little things that happen in there over a course of an hour and a half, but that's basically the plot. Now, we're going to have a look at the trailer. Now, I actually thought I had a different trailer than the one I have. So, unfortunately, this is the first trailer, which doesn't show any footage. But it's still, I think it's a really unique trailer. So, let's have a look at this trailer for Buried, and then we'll come back and talk about this.
Yes, 911.
I'm from Hastings, Michigan. I'm a driver for CRT. My convoy was ambushed. I'm buried in a coffin in the ground, and I need help. Please send help. I'm begging you.
How did you end up in the coffin, sir?
I was put here.
You're American?
Yeah.
5 million money for 9 months to stay. Buried like dog.
United States Pharmacy?
I'm an American citizen. My convoy was attacked and I'm being held for ransom. I need $5 million or I'll be left to die here. These threats are real and will be followed through on.
I just have a few questions for you, Mr. Conroy.
You gotta be kidding me.
It's important that I get this information. It'll help
Wait, hold on. How do you know my name? What's going on right now?
Listen to me, okay? These guys, they know where we live. They have my driver's license.
Do not go back to the house. Nobody's gonna pay $5 million for me.
Or there's little we can do from Washington.
Your ransom video already has 47,000 hits on YouTube.
Where is money?
I need more time, please.
You show blood.
What?
You got fingers.
What are you doing right now to help me? Let me out of here, and I promise you I will get you the money.
All right, I'm going to head this review off this week, which I normally throw it to the guests first, but I'm going to head this review off this week because I got to say that I actually really, really like this film. I saw it a couple nights ago, and look, I didn't know a lot to expect on this film, okay? It's Ryan Reynolds in a box. you know. And my first question to that was, how are you going to sustain that for an hour and a half? Now, I have to say that from the opening credits of this film, which are in the same style as that trailer you just saw, with the lines going across screen, my first thought was the music choices that was made, the score, which unfortunately I haven't been able to get hold of a copy of for this episode, but the music choices and that style, it almost felt like a Saul Bass style opening to straight off the bat, and it just struck me as, oh my God, this film is homage to Hitchcock, and this is a very, very, very Hitchcockian idea about putting somebody in a situation like this and milking it for all you can get. Now, I think my personal opinion is if Hitchcock was alive today, this is the kind of film we would have got out of Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. Now, Hitchcock's not alive, obviously, and I don't think he would be making movies if he was alive today because he'd be about 400 years old. Mm-hmm. All right, but no, I'm joking. It feels like what De Palma was doing early in his career, which was that homage to Hitchcock, that style of Hitchcock. And to Rodrigo Cortez's credit, he not only manages to hold an audience for an hour and a half, he manages to keep you engaged during that hour and a half. There are many moments in this film where I was actually on the edge of my seat, wondering what was next. Now, I know that there is predictable natures to this film as well. The actual plot itself is predictable. I don't even know if I want to go into spoilers on the resolution, but the resolution is also predictable to a degree. Mm-hmm. However, not predictable to the U.S. market. Yeah. And that's the thing. If an American filmmaker, now let's be very clear, this film is a Spanish film, Spanish production with a lot of French money, and it feels that way. It feels it's got European sensibilities. It's got the same sort of sensibilities that came out of the film The Vanishing, if you ever saw that one years ago, which has got that very kind of bleak outlook to it. And another one, Funny Games, the original Funny Games, very bleak outlook to it where you sit there and go, this isn't going to end well. You know? And if it was an American film, it would have. And that's the thing. In an American film, you would immediately go, well, we're going to get through all this, but it's okay because he'll probably be saved in the last minute or what have you. With this film, you don't know if that's going to happen or not because of it being a European production. Yeah. And I like that. I like that unknowing aspect to it. I like the fact that the story is unfolding for him. Now, yeah. We may see it as predictable, but it's about his reactions. It's about what he's doing. He isn't the smartest guy in the world. He's a truck driver. You know, he doesn't know how to deal with this situation. He hasn't been given a lot of training. He actually, at one point in the thing, says, "You were in that training session," when he's talking to the guy on the phone. And he says, "What, you mean that part where they kind of just, you know, told us nothing, basically?" And that's kind of the point, is that he's not trained to be in this situation. He's a truck driver on contract in Iraq.
Yeah.
You know, he was given a safety number. So what's he do? He puts it in his wallet. Of course it's stolen. I mean, a safety number like that should be hidden somewhere else. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's not the brightest spark. That being said, Ryan Reynolds' performance is close to perfect for what he is actually doing. Ryan Reynolds, I didn't know if he actually... I mean, I've always liked Ryan Reynolds. I didn't know if he had it in him to deliver this film. When I first heard that he was doing this, I had hopes. But there is a credit in the end credits, which is acting coach, period, one person. So you know that he had a coach on set every day with this thing. Yeah. I don't know what the shooting schedule was, but he really did feel like he'd been in that box an awful long time by the end. I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it. It is. I told my wife about it, and my wife's first reaction was, "I don't want to see this movie." Because for her, it's claustrophobia. For her, it's a guy in a box. And being European, it has the possibilities of a very bleak ending. She has no interest in this film whatsoever. Yeah. My mother, I talked to her about it. She's asthmatic. She goes, "I don't want to watch a film about a guy running out of air."
Yeah.
You know? So this isn't going to be for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in a different thriller, and when I say different thriller, I mean, okay, as I said, we've said that some of the plot points have been used before in other films, but to see it combined into this package, this well made, I mean, and it's really well made, beautifully shot for its close confines, how Rodrigo Cortez has managed to keep it interesting in those close confines, long moments of black, just sound of breathing and stuff. It's a really, really well done film. And in my opinion, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say it is in my top five films of the year. I really enjoyed it, and it left me at the end, when the credits rolled, I was left there thinking, wow, that was actually, it was a joy to watch a good piece of cinema with a great central performance, you know? And it's fun to watch that unfold, you know? Anyway, I'm going to throw this open to the other side of the table and say, Josh, I think you have some disagreements with me.
Look, I may have pedestaled this film in advance because I was just so excited. I have had this thing in my head for probably a good 6-7 years that Ryan Reynolds is an incredible actor, and everyone always laughed at me about it. They were just like, "Have you seen this guy in films?" And I'm like, there is something about him that has always struck me as
he has incredible charisma.
Exactly. And it extends past the whole charisma funniness. It's like the man just has a presence that could be really good. And when I found out he was doing a very serious film, this is his first sort of standout role where he is playing, he's playing the only character in this film.
This is his Moon.
Exactly.
I mean, with Sam Rockwell doing that in Moon, this is his Moon. You know?
Exactly. And he's and for him to do that, because, I mean, like, it's a sign of growing up. Like, I mean, the man has been kind of, you know, American pied his entire life. And, you know, with Van Wilder and stuff like this, he has a particular image. Even
was that, the one where he played the fat guy, Just Friends? That was
Just
awful.
Friends, and then you've got, Waiting and stuff like that. As much as these movies are quite funny, they're all one type of movie. And then there was that slight breakout where he did, what was the one? Blade.
Blade
and,
Trinity, yeah.
And though he was still playing the funny guy, he had a lot more to him. He put a lot of effort into that film. You can see it. The guy bodybuilt like crazy. Like, the man was well built. He did a lot of action scenes in that film, you know, and it was serious at times, and he played it perfectly. So when I found out he was doing this film, I was really excited, and I'll admit, I wasn't in the best moods going in, so I need to watch this film again because I need to separate myself out from my emotions because it was just a particular
day. Well, Numero Zero said the same thing in our chat room. Says, "I don't know, it had some cool stuff, but there was so much build-up."
Exactly. And look, I walked out very disappointed. And my disappointment, I think, comes from the fact that the trailer sold me a very twist and turny kind of a film, like stuff was going to be happening, whereas in reality the path of this film is very straightforward. It's basically, if you if you've had the thought in your mind, which I'm not going to break for anyone else because it was wrecked for me, but if you have the thought of what could possibly happen in the film and you know what might happen, it's like you already know his story and where it's going to be. It's about kind of his journey across that story. I was hoping for something that was going to be really kind of, you know, like Saw-esque kind of a moment where you think the story is about two guys in a room with a killer and there ends up being all of this stuff interwoven in between it that slowly opens up over time.
I can see that, yeah.
Where there is none of that. The story is very straightforward. The twists and turns really, there are none. It's basically just a story about a guy trying to, living out the period in the box. This is what happened.
Yeah, but it's the way that they play that out as well, though. That's what I found so intriguing about the film was that, yes, it didn't need all of the twists and turns. It didn't need to go into all... It didn't need to try and sensationalize it. Mm. It basically gave you a guy in a box and said, this is the deal. The terrorist says, we want $5 million money or you die, basically. Yeah. Simple as that. And it's about that two-hour period for the money drop off.
Yeah. You know? And that just like, I mean,
and I found that riveting, you know, and I think, and a lot of that is because of Ryan Reynolds. A lot of that is because
look,
of that.
Look, Ryan Reynolds is the reason that you stay focused in this film. Like, I mean, a lesser actor would have just failed to keep you entertained, but look, the guy sells every moment he's on screen. Hmm. It is a mesmerizing performance. He just looks so uncomfortable the entire time. And yes, you're in a box, but he plays...
Let's not forget, he's in a box.
Okay. Yeah, no, but at the same time, like every moment that that he's there, you never lose the belief that the guy's in a box trying to struggle his way out with just nothing more than a cell phone and light. That's pretty much all that's in that box. And... like, I mean, they hold you so well. Like, I mean, the people that deserve so much credit, director, whoever was in charge of lighting, because the lighting in this film...
The DOP on this was phenomenal. I don't actually have the DOP's name in front of me. I should have a look at that.
All right, well, while you're looking at that, and of course, Ryan Reynolds, these are the three key points. Everybody else is just filling in gaps between spots with him on screen, and he is does an amazing job. Mm. My biggest problem with the film is... I wanted a different ending. Whether or not that's something that I should have to come to terms with, we will see on a second viewing. But I had a lot of issues with this, and I think it's just because I put it on such a high pedestal that I think I've maybe overreacted to what I saw.
Edward Grau.
Mm-hmm. I think in essence what I'm trying to say is I think all around everybody did a great job. It just didn't grab me like I wanted it to. I wanted it to be more than it was, and what I got was a really standard film for me. It was just a very start finish, no real surprises to me, because in my mind everything I'd already guessed was going to happen. So
interesting. Okay, yeah. Shane, what did you think of it?
First of all, I have to say I was intoxicated by when I was watching this film.
Shane had been out partying.
All right, so we've got a disclaimer here. He was pissed drunk when he
saw it. And it didn't help that there was people in front of us that were mumbling right throughout the film. Yeah, I actually wanted to throw lollies at them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, we actually had a really bad experience in the film because the girls in front of us were laughing, and it's a really off-putting thing. Like, usually in a film, I wouldn't care, but when it's a film that's so serious... when you've got somebody taking you out of a moment like that, it really does affect you. Like, I almost got up at one stage and went, excuse me, can you shut the fuck up?
Can we just put a disclaimer out there for everybody who listens to this show? If you're going to the cinema, respect for the other people around you. We're all there to enjoy the film, you know? Anyway. So.
Yeah. Besides that, though, I can get the feeling of what they're coming across, like it's trying to put you in that same situation, so to speak, which I thought was quite cool. And... there's a certain part where, in the film, where he doesn't do something nice.
Yeah.
And I peered over at Josh, and he's like, "Oh,
yeah." No, there are some really grueling scenes in this film, and I think it's difficult to say that without actually saying it. I understand what Shane means by that. Yeah, there are a few scenes in this thing that are quite hard to watch, because you can imagine yourself having to make a decision on a fly to do something that you particularly don't want to do.
Yeah, and the panic in Ryan Reynolds as well that sets in. And there's two events in particular I'm thinking of where he's been told not to do something.
Yeah.
and he's not going to do it. And then an event takes place.
Yeah.
And the panic in him is just do it now. It doesn't matter where, hang the consequences, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, once again, this is credit to Ryan Reynolds for getting that across, you know? You're right, Shane. The idea is that they wanted to put you in that box.
Yeah.
And I think they successfully did that. I think they successfully made us.
Even all the stuff I've said, I completely agree with you. Like, the one thing that this film does so well is just you feel in that box, and you can feel yourself struggling to breathe at moments in this film. And
there's that sequence where he's trying to turn around in the box because he's trying to get the bag at the end of the box.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just that kicking
and that
noise.
And you can hear the creaking noises of the wood, and you can feel him fighting against this. A box that he's not meant to turn around in, it's a coffin, and it's you sit there, you find yourself moving in your seat going, oh man,
it's uncomfortable to watch, and I mean that in itself means that it's really doing its job. So,
It also doesn't help that the man has to take anxiety pills as well.
Yeah, because that's...
Yeah, that's actually one of the plot points in there,
And you can feel the emotion as well. I mean, you would get frustrated, like you'd get angry at somebody on the phone that's obviously not willing to help you.
Oh, yeah, those scenes, man, where he gets frustrated.
And he just loses it, and then there's a certain part in the film where there's a close-up right near his eye, and you can actually see the tear.
Yeah.
Well, I think nearing about the three-quarter mark in the film, maybe a little bit further on, without giving any spoilers, but the discussion between him and Stephen Tobolowsky on the phone, where Stephen Tobolowsky is the HR representative for the company he works for.
Yeah.
And when and you just sit there and you just go, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, and the look on Ryan Reynolds' face is like, and when Reynolds is saying, no, don't do this, and you sit there going... And that's actually a part where I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Is like the lowest blow that could be issued, I think that was just, look, we're going to go into a spoiler zone because there's a couple things we should talk about we can't really talk about. Yeah. But we're going to keep it really short. Okay, let's keep the spoiler zone really short. Cuz I actually don't want to spoil too much on this film because some of this is actually about the journey, but also for those who don't mind spoilers, sometimes knowing some of the events coming up might take the anticipation out of it.
Yeah.
Because if you know some of the things that are coming, you won't be sitting there going, oh, but, damn it, I wanted this or that. So, and we kind of like discussing films, and this is why we have a spoiler zone. We're going to keep this really short, though. So we're gonna look at our clock up here, and we're going to say that the spoiler zone... what time is it? What we can do is we can bring a clock up on screen, can't we?
I was about to say, I'm like, I thought you were looking up for the corner.
There we go. It's 2:19 p.m. according to my Play School clock. And we're going to say 5 minute spoilers. So 2:25 we finish. So spoilers for Buried from now for 5 minutes. Okay.
First thing I want to bring up, because I thought it was the most hilarious part of the movie, is where he's on the phone to the wife's friend. And she hangs up on him. He calls her back, and there's that realization that he doesn't have time to fuck around, and that he's just gotta deal with the fact that he's gonna have to be nice. So he's like, "I'm sorry, blah blah blah. Can you please give me the number?" She gives it to him. He writes it down. Then he goes, "All right, fuck you," and then hangs up. It's like that might be the last thing you say to him. But God damn it,
he obviously has not got a good relationship with this woman. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is the Stephen Tobolowsky scene that we were just alluding to, which of course is where Stephen Tobolowsky, he's tried to call his employers earlier in the film to try and find out what the hell to do. He's gotten a receptionist and all this sort of nonsense. And finally, when the representative for the company calls him back, it's like, oh, you're finally calling me back. And he starts going through these questions saying, we're going to record this. You don't mind if we record this. You need to say yes or no. And you're going, where is this going? What is he doing here? And it starts to go with the fact that we terminated your employment this morning. So therefore, when you were captured... You're not actually an employee, and we have no liability. Do you want to? And it's like, oh, fuck you, man. How could you do that to this guy,
Yeah.
It's like, this just sucks,
Yeah.
And it's just – and Tobolowsky's got such a unique voice that you sit there going, oh, man, that is just – that's cold. It's just so cold.
Dude, the thing that makes that scene so incredibly emotional and so incredibly powerful is the way that towards the end, a normal person, like a person with any – form of soul would start to crack at those moments, but the fact that he's driving the points home even harder at the end of the conversation just makes it so hard to listen to. Because when Ryan Reynolds is just mentally cracking, like just losing the plot, he's just going, do you understand? You're going to have to tell me you understand. Yeah. And you're just sitting there going, what kind of person are you? That is just disgusting.
And it makes you wonder, how many times has he done this in the past?
Yeah. Oh,
you know, how many of these conversations has he had with these Iraqi contractors,
yeah,
you know, that are over there risking their lives and haven't been trained at all for this? And he says they're going, oh, this poor schmuck, he didn't even know what he was getting himself into, you know? And now I think we should also address in our last 3 minutes of spoilers, we should address the ending. Because it's fair to say that an American film, in an American tentpole summer film, he would have been rescued. I think we would have got to a point where at the last minute, the crate would have burst open and he would have got his breath of air or whatever, right? In fact, there was part of me that kept expecting, you know, when the plank broke and the sand was coming in, for him to use that as his leverage to finally open the box and crawl his way out or something, you know? But they didn't.
Nope.
And being the European production it is, having him suffocate to death under that pile of sand, I think that's one of the things, you kind of know that's where it's going.
Yeah.
All the way through the film, you kind of know that's where it should go. Logically, that's where it has to go. But you're waiting for them to cop out.
Exactly.
And I think the fact that they didn't cop out in the end of this film is to its credit. And I think we sit there and go, wow, that is just bleak, you know? And yes, the whole thing with the guy on the server saying, oh my God, it's the wrong box and everything, that might have been a little bit heavy-handed, you know? But it still drove home the point, you know? In fact, I think what it would have been actually even more interesting is if the guy had been saying, we're coming, and he wasn't really even coming. You know, just to try and keep him, you know. As he said, my job is to babysit.
Well, I have a question for you, Dave, because maybe you can try and explain to me, because this is a huge hole, and this is one of the things that really annoyed me about the film, is at about the three-quarter mark, he has a conversation with the same guy. And he has a conversation saying, I found the number, right? To which he says, he realizes in his voice that this guy is not doing anything. And he says, is there any help? Is there any point to any of it? And he says, no, right? They finish that conversation. At no stage does he give him that number. How did he ring him back?
Yeah, but my question was that about a couple of things. Because he was rung back by a couple of people. Was it after he unlocked the Arabic?
No, did that he, doesn't... It,
no, no, but because you can, on your phone, you can set the number block.
Yeah.
So was he also unlocking the number block?
You have to show that. I'm sorry, that is a failure as a film person if you can't realize that if you don't explain that...
Or alternatively,
yeah,
did the guy already have his number and didn't really care?
Well, no, because somebody else says the number's blocked. One of the other people says, I can't see the number. I'm pretty sure. So, I don't know, dude. That was one thing where I was just like,
I've
really?
I've got one quick question, which I just want to throw out to everybody.
Yep.
This is just a general question. What would you actually do if you did find the snake in the box?
Because I'm with Shane. I thought that was a really weird way to deal with it. Like,
I think it was his only way to deal with it. Although there was part of me that was thinking he was going to kick it.
Kick. That makes a lot more sense to me.
But it was more dynamic putting the fire down. So, once again, there's cinematic tools and there's reality. In reality, it was a really stupid thing to do because you're just going to suck all the oxygen out of the room. And there's no way you can control that fire so that if he actually did set the box on fire, he would have been doomed as well. But then there's cinematic. And cinematic, it was much more interesting doing it that way, which keeps our attention because we are asked to sit there for an hour and a half of a guy in a box anyway. So I think cinematically they made the choice that it would be a more dynamic scene to do it that way. Okay, spoilers are over. It's 2:25, so spoilers are over. Those who have turned off the audio feed are coming back into the room now, so we'll just turn the clock off and say our usual thing, which is, would you recommend it to your friends?
Yes. Because I think there is enough in the film that even if I didn't particularly enjoy the storyline, that may have just been due to the day. It is actually, even with all the stuff I've said, it will be a film I will own. And the reason being is the fact that, number one, it, I believe Ryan Reynolds has great things in store for him. Mm. I reckon we're just waiting to see him fully blossom. He is, could quite possibly be the Tom Cruise. I mean, let's take away the, you know, sort of Scientology crap. Yeah. But he is the Tom Cruise or you know, the Edward Norton of our generation. We need these actors.
Yeah. I think there is a lot in him. Like, yeah. I think there's a lot in Sam Rockwell, and I think we're starting to finally see it.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys will become great things, and I want to have that movie in my collection for when I can say to people, do you know where he started? Do you know where it changed for him? Mm. And this is a really important film, and he does such a great job. So, yes, I would recommend it to people.
Callison in our chat room wants to know, did he say, I'm sick of all these goddamn snakes in this motherfucking box?
Mother bleeding box. No, he didn't.
Shane, would you recommend it to your friends?
Yes, if you definitely want a film that's going to draw you in and get that sense of that feeling around you and the emotion that's all behind it, definitely... Absolutely. Check it out.
Fantastic. And I'm going to say, yes, I wholeheartedly recommend this, and I will own it when it comes out. I think it is a top-notch thriller, top-notch piece of acting, and I thought it was gripping, quite frankly. So I am right there with it. So I will definitely be buying it, and I recommend it to people. Although I do say to you, if you do have a problem with tight, confined spaces, or you have asthma, or any of these sort of things, as I said at the beginning, maybe not the film for you, okay? Because it is a very claustrophobic film. And it really does sell that aspect to it. Okay, so that's Buried. And, look, I think it is well worth having a look at. So, all right, now, we've got a little bit of an entertainment buzz section. Most of our stuff is actually trailers or clips this week. So sit back and enjoy. We've got a few things to show you. First thing I want to show you is we have the new action-based trailer. Now, this took some doing, guys, because in Australia, you know how we get our video restricted down here. The site that actually had this trailer was not open to Australians. So I had to do a little bit of jigging to get this. But God damn it, for our listeners, anything. Okay? and that is, I have the new action-based trailer for The Walking Dead. What is that noise I can hear?
Somebody's whistling outside.
Oh, are they? Okay. All right, it probably isn't coming through on mics anyway, so it doesn't matter. All right, so this is the new action-based trailer for The Walking Dead. Now, it's got a lot of the same clips that were in the previous clips that we've seen, but this has been condensed down to literally like a one-minute spot. And if this doesn't make you want to see this film, I think you're already dead, quite frankly. So here you go. Here's The Walking Dead.
Coming to AMC. From the director of The Shawshank Redemption and the producer of The Terminator.
Things are different now. There's us and the dead.
We ought to warn people away from the city.
Folks got no idea what they're getting into.
The Walking Dead premieres October 31st at 10, 9 central, only on AMC.
God, I love that guy's voice.
No, I don't. That's like the only thing that doesn't work with that trailer. Everything else is just mind-blowingly amazing, except for the guy who talks like this.
He's got the voice.
It's like there is so much subtlety and amazing film work just in that trailer, and yet we have that guy
Walking
doing
Dead. But I can't wait. October 31st, and another plug out to our friends over at the Movie Fan House. They've got their podcast kicking off really soon. Which I believe we're all at some point going to be guests on. So yeah, definitely keep an eye on Movie Fan Cast.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited!
What are they calling? I think their working title at the moment is like The Walking Dead Cast or something like that. But it's coming, and that's going to be they're going to do an analysis on each week's episode as they air. So and they'll have different guests on. So definitely check that out. And if I had thought of it first, I'd be doing it first. But they beat me to it. All right. So the next thing I want to say is, in the history of bad ideas, we have another one.
Yay!
I like because that, we can't seem to get enough of doing CGI / live action hybrid movies based on old comic book characters, a la Rocky and Bullwinkle, Yogi Bear coming out soon. The Smurfs are about to come out, and now the latest one to add to this whole collection is Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, what?
They're going to bring a live-action CGI hybrid movie out with... who's voicing Pepe Le Pew? Mike Myers. So I have a bad feeling about that all over the place. So,
if I remember correctly, Pepe Le Pew was French.
Yes, yeah, and I'm sure he'll do his best French accent. Yeah. Anyway.
Look, this, Mike Myers can be really funny.
And he can do accents. Yeah,
and he can do accents. Yeah. We've seen that before, so I don't know. We need more information.
Do I need to run the trailer for Yogi Bear again?
No.
Or the Smurfs.
I'll kill you.
Or Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I'll kill you. I will.
All right, well, let me wash that bad taste out of our mouths with another trailer. This is Danny Boyle's new film called 127 Days. Now, I've got a brief little plot synopsis written down here. So in case you don't know anything about this film, it is based on a true story. And I didn't know a lot about how they were going to handle this until I saw the trailer. Now, it's the true story of mountain climber Aaron Ralston, who's played by James Franco, and his remarkable adventure to save himself after a fallen boulder crashes on his arm and traps him in an isolated canyon in Utah. Over the next 5 days, Ralston examines his life and survives the elements to finally discover he has the courage and the wherewithal to extricate himself by any means necessary, scale a 65-foot wall, and hike over 8 miles before finally being rescued. Wow. So I thought, wow, that sounds real interesting, and I love James Franco, and then I saw the trailer. So have a look at this trailer. This looks great. I really want to see this.
It is 7 o'clock here in Canyonland, USA.
Hey, Aaron. Mom still has not heard from you. Will you just call her, please? I'll talk to you soon.
And this morning, on the boulder, we have a very special guest, Aaron Ralston!
Woo! Oh, gosh, it's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey.
You lost? I'm a guide. What do you say? See, I'm something of a big hard hero.
All you have to remember is that everything will be okay.
Oh my God, Aaron! Are you okay, Aaron?
Come on, you gotta come down here!
It's been nice knowing you, Aaron.
I can do everything on my own.
See ya!
Bye!
I don't think we figured in his day at all.
Hey there, Aaron.
Is it true you didn't tell anyone where you were going? Oops. Oops.
This marks 24 hours of being stuck.
I've been chipping away. Would it keep warm than anything?
I have about 150 milliliters of water left, which should keep me alive till tomorrow night, if I'm lucky. So that's it. Mom, Dad, I haven't appreciated you as I know that I could. I love you guys, and I'll always be with you.
About that film.
Yeah, me too. I saw that trailer and I just went, wow.
We were just talking off air about the fact that both me and Dave think that that's another one of those guys that, Ryan Reynolds, that's one of those guys that you just see and you know there's more to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Pineapple Express,
yeah,
same. Agree.
Pineapple Express for me was the turning point for him because up until then he had been the pretty boy.
Well, that he's either the pretty boy or he's always just been the background character. He's never really had front row roles, and Pineapple Express
and he was
a really
so
good one.
Different in Pineapple Express. I just went, wow, there is a lot more to this guy.
Well,
and this.
He can really play different shades, which is always a great sign for an actor, and I'm so excited about it.
And once again, we're coming down to that concept of it's basically a one-man show, and this is going to be, we've got all that stuff at the beginning with him and the girls and all this stuff, but the majority of this film is going to be him in a hole with his hand under a boulder, you know? And I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see Danny Boyle pull this on. Now, Danny Boyle is a great director. He's made some terrific films. So I'm trusting in him. And I love the fact that in the trailer they actually say one of the greatest performances of all time.
Yeah, like, that's a strong thing. And it wasn't somebody light either. It was like Rolling Stone.
It was Rolling Stone or something. Yeah. So I'm really interested. I think there'll also be a snake, says Carl Smith. Maybe.
Nordy's asking a release date. Do we have any idea?
I don't have a release date, unfortunately. I'm sure we can look this up, though. We'll look it up during the next trailer, and we'll come back to that one. Okay. I don't think it's far off. I think it is literally around the corner.
Because I know the trailer's out for it, so...
Well, yeah, that's the trailer there. So that came out a few days ago. So what is it called again? 127 days, yeah?
Yeah.
127 hours, yeah.
Okay, well, now you confuse me. What's it called?
127 hours.
127 hours. Okay, 127 days. He'd be there an awful long time, wouldn't
he? Yeah, especially with the amount of water he had, Dave. Somehow I don't think that would happen.
All right, I'm looking it up right now for you, and I will say that it's due for release. If it has a release date here, it's due for release. Nope, doesn't say on... Oh, here it is, release date, 5th of November.
There you go.
So it's around... That's America. I don't know when we're going to get in Australia. So, all right, so that's...
Knowing us, next year.
Someday. Oh, 2012. Yeah. All right, so that's the 127 hours trailer by Danny Boyle's new film. So I'm very looking... did you guys see Slumdog Millionaire?
No, I avoided it. There was too much hype around it.
I get
some of those films where that just happens to me, where it's just like too many people say you haven't seen it, and I just don't want to watch it on principle.
Okay,
well, I'll pick it up in like a year from now.
Now is when you should see it. Yep. Now the hype has died down. It is actually a really good film. So it's a quality film and well worth having a look at. All right, another piece of news that we have that came out this week was, if you remember last week we were talking about the fact that Christopher Nolan had prepared a short list of directors for the new Superman reboot. And it has Darren Aronofsky and a few other names on there, and they're starting to get to that point where they're actually getting to that. Well, it was confirmed this week. We have a director for Superman, and it was the one that we actually said last week, that's a really odd choice. They signed Zack Snyder. So it's like, okay.
Lots of slow motion.
Yeah, lots of slow motion action. Now, there is reason, apparently, why he was hired, and that is that Warner Brothers needs to act on this film fast.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to lose the rights next year to Superman if they don't get a film into production. So they know Zack Snyder can make things happen. And so basically, it's a situation where Zack Snyder said, and Zack Snyder has already said, that David Goyer's script needs work. It is a rough around the edges. And he said that he's going to rewrite it. He said as soon as he's got Sucker Punch out and finished, he is going straight into production. He's going to rewrite the script, and he will have this thing into production early next year. So, I mean, that's the thing about Zack Snyder. He doesn't mess around. He works really fast.
And really hard.
And he is the only director who managed to get, after 12 years or whatever it was, Watchmen off the ground. You know? So he can do it. Okay. Question is, will he do it well? That's a whole different issue. The one thing that I will say that I did find out about this Superman project, though, that did excite me, so I just bring up Zack Snyder for our chat room. The thing that did excite me about this production is that some leaks have come out about what it might be about. Now, one of the big problems that Superman has had over the years is that they keep reusing Lex Luthor, and they keep reusing all that sort of stuff. And the problem is, Superman can't cut loose. He can't be Superman and do superheroic things because he's a god, basically, and Lex Luthor is a man, and, you know, theoretically, it's all solved very quickly, right? Yeah. And we've done that story to death anyway. Well, so what we really need is we need somebody who Superman can wail on, basically. We need to see people going through buildings and buildings being knocked down, you know? And so apparently with this reboot, they're bringing back General Zod.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like it's a General Zod story, and so I think we're going to have some serious super action happening. So I am excited about this, and I'm excited that Christopher Nolan is producing. I'm excited that David Goyer and Chris Nolan are writing, because they're both very good writers. Zack Snyder is also not a slouch when it comes to writing. Look, Zack Snyder being hired to direct Superman is not in the same league as saying Brett Ratner to direct the next X-Men movie. You know, this is not the same sort of league. Zack Snyder has done quality work. Whether you Whether people personally like his work or not, that's a subjective thing. But there's no denying the fact that the quality is there in the film.
Amazing. Yeah.
So I'm actually kind of excited. We'll see what happens with that. I'm actually really curious to see Sucker Punch. Can we just get that sucker out, you know? Mm. Because that just looks bizarre. Yeah. All right. The other piece of news that we had this week that I'm going to bring up, and because it's superhero news as well, is that David E. Kelley, do you guys know David E. Kelley? He's the writer-producer of things like Boston Legal and Chicago Hope and Picket Fences and many, many other TV shows. He also is the writer of the Lake Placid movie.
Yeah.
He is going to bring Wonder Woman back to the small screen.
Small screen?
Television show. He's decided that he is ready to do it, and he is preparing a new Wonder Woman TV series. Now, the question that has to be asked is, first of all, it's going to be really well written because the guy's a brilliant writer. But the question is, do we get Wonder Woman or do we get Wonder Woman?
I'm thinking more of that.
You think the new one?
Yeah.
Now, for those who are listening to the audio, I brought up a photo of classic Wonder Woman, and I brought up a picture of the new costume that was launched 7 issues ago or 5 issues ago or whatever it is. I've actually been reading the new Wonder Woman. So I've read the 4 issues of this new series, and it's taken it into a completely different place. They've kind of rewritten the entire origin of her, and they've kind of rejigged the entire
That with much love.
I'm not loving it yet. I need a few more issues because, as we've discussed on the show before, I actually really like the Wonder Woman character. You know, I think she's a really gutsy, strong female character, and I think what they've done with her is they've kind of wimped her out a little bit, and I'm not too keen on that. I will keep reading it. I'm curious to see. Look, I trust J. Michael Straczynski, who's writing it. He rebooted Thor, basically, recently, with that, what was it, 10-issue reboot series where he kept the same mythos but kind of brought it back to life. And he did a great job with that. I'm also a big Babylon 5 fan. So, you know, I trust him. We'll see what happens with it. I don't know where David E. Kelley is going with it. But it's going to be very interesting to see who, A, he casts as Wonder Woman, and B, what angle he goes with it. Is he going to go with kind of a campy Wonder Woman, or is he going to, you know, go with... I mean, he could... If he goes the Smallville way with it, I'm not going to be real happy. I've already got one guilty pleasure. I don't need another one. All right. Just to round off our news today, we have another trailer. Now, this is going to feel like a flashback because we've... Oh, it wouldn't be our show if the studio phone didn't go off at least once. they'll grab it. There it goes. All right. Last week we showed the teaser trailer to the film True Grit. And we all thought, wow, this is going to be awesome. Blah, blah, blah. 1 week later, a full trailer for True Grit has come out.
I know. And how good is it?
It is freaking awesome. And if you don't believe me, here it is for everybody to enjoy. So enjoy the full trailer for True Grit.
Mr. Cogburn, in your 4 years as U.S. Marshal, how many men have you shot?
Shot or killed?
Let us restrict it to killed so that we may have a manageable figure.
Mr. Cogburn?
What do you want, girl?
I'm looking for the man who killed my father. The man's name is Tom Chaney, and I need somebody to go after him.
What's your name?
My name is Maddie Ross.
Are you some kind of law?
I'm a Texas Ranger. I know Chaney. It is at least a two-man job taking him alive.
Marshal Cogburn? Can we depart this afternoon?
Wait.
I'm going with you.
Congratulations. You've graduated from marauder to wet nurse.
We're being followed.
What do we do, Marshal?
You missed your shot, Cogburn.
Best let this go.
I thought you were going to say the sun was in your eyes. That is to say, your eye.
You got a lot of experience with bounty hunters, do you?
That is a silly question. I am 14.
You can run on for a long time.
Time for you to go home.
I don't like you. I will not go back, not without Chaney, dead or alive.
Sooner or later, we gotta cut you down.
Chaney's here! Help me, Marshal!
Now what, Cogburn?
Them boys, don't think about the wrath that's about to set down on it.
Cheney and his gang a rough life. I do not regret shooting your father.
I will kill this girl!
Biggest mistake you ever made.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Help me?
I can do nothing for you, son.
Credits, apparently, guys. Keep your eyes on the credits.
Oh, they go,
Steven Spielberg.
Produced by Steven Spielberg. I did not know that until I saw this trailer. I went, oh, interesting. Now, that has got to be the most awesome thing I've seen in a long time. Now, before we go any further, Pop Shot. Red Dead? Really? This is based on a novel that came out 45 to 50 years before Red Dead was even thought about. Right? So, let's say Red Dead ripped off every Western trope of every classic Western that has ever come out. And leave it at that. It's not that these films are ripping off Red Dead. All right? So these are Red Dead wants to be all of these films. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Now, I got to say, True Grit is coming out soon. I think it's actually due out. If it's not by the end of this year, it's early next year. I cannot wait. We will definitely be there to review that
one. I'll be there day freaking one.
Day freaking one, absolutely. if not earlier, if we can get a preview screening.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real goal here at this point. Okay, now, what are we up to here, guys? We got news, we got all that taken care of, we got all the news taken care of. That means it must be time for our list of five. We need a list of five intro. We really do.
Or just a, yeah.
We need
still five.
We need there like a Letterman, you know, 10 countdown.
Get Shane on drums.
All right, so this week our list of five is actually changed from what it was when we originally started this show, so I'm going to have to go back here and look for my list of five. This is five claustrophobic movies. Mm-hmm. Interpret that as you will. Now, I'm going to let, because I have to bring up my Pages document, I'm going to let Josh kick us off this time.
Oh. You would do that, wouldn't you?
I would.
All right, cool. Number five on my list is probably my least of the claustrophobic feeling films, but because of the way it was shot, you get that kind of real air that you're locked inside a particular area, and because it is about contagion, you do end up, there is an outside border of which they can't cross, so you are stuck in a very confined place, and towards the end of the film it becomes very claustrophobic with lots of heavy breathing and very hard lighting. So number five is
Wreck. I know where you're heading for. Wreck.
Yeah.
Now, this is a film I still have not seen. I have got to see this film.
Yep.
And I won't watch. I've actually had the opportunity to be able to see the remake several times, and I won't watch the remake because I want to see the original first.
Yeah.
Okay, Shane, what is your number five?
I don't actually
have you don't have a list. Oh.
He doesn't have a list.
Oh, sorry. I thought he'd compiled one. All right, that's right.
Mine is shared with
he should. You concur with his number five?
Yeah.
If you disagree with any of his choices, you throw them out there, all right? All right, my number five is kind of interpreting the idea of claustrophobic, because they don't actually address the ideas of claustrophobicness as such, but it is a very claustrophobic film, and that is Apollo 13, with three guys stuck in a capsule in space, running out of air, running out of power, running out of everything, running out of hope. And
I think that is the essence of claustrophobia. It doesn't have to be one room to be.
And I also have to say thank you to my wife, who was the one who threw that in at the last minute. She goes, "What about Apollo 13? I went, "Dope!" So Apollo 13 by Ron Howard. Number four, Josh.
Number four for me is a film which is Korean in birth, and the whole film isn't about this, but the starting section feels so claustrophobic that I had to use it, which is Oldboy.
Another film I haven't seen.
Yeah, Oldboy, he spends 15 years locked in a room. It's a full-sized room, but even so, there's quite literally...
It's kind of Bad Boy Bubby-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally the reason that you would go mentally insane is being locked in a room and being served food once a day with no contact with the outside world. So, yeah, very claustrophobic.
Fair enough. I've got to see that film. So many people are talking about that film. I've got to see it. My number four is actually a German film, and claustrophobic is kind of the theme of the film, which is Das Boot, or the boat, for American audiences. Basically, the entire film takes place on a German U-boat, and it's dank and sweaty and closed confines, and they're continually under assault by depth charges, and it's this whole feeling of, what are we going to do? We're stuck in here. And I really, really loved it. And it's a long film, but well worth having a look at. So, number three.
Number three for me, man, is going to be Panic Room.
Interesting.
Now, you can say what you want, but she is in that room for pretty much the entire movie, and there is a huge sense of claustrophobia in the fact that she has all these problems to deal with outside that room with no ability to leave the room itself. So, especially towards the end where, you know, we have water filling up and stuff like that. Sorry, it is really claustrophobic. And look, I mean, it may not be my favorite film, but I really got that sense of
tension. It's funny, it didn't even enter my mind because I don't think so much of that film, so I wasn't even considering it. But you're
but
right.
But as a claustrophobic concept, like for someone that really doesn't like that kind of area, she really sold that kind of an idea. So yeah, no, I thought that was a really good film for claustrophobic feeling.
Fantastic. Okay. My number three, and I think we actually share one of these, so I don't know where it is on your list, but I'm going to say it's The Descent.
No, this is my number three as well.
All right. Well, so both our number threes at the same time is The Descent, which is, of course, the horror film with the girls in the caves. Next to Buried, I think it's probably one of the most claustrophobic films in the sense of being enclosed in something that...
Well, I mean, I love the fact that if you actually think about it, it's like... It's a really terrifying concept because not only now do you have what is shot brilliantly as a cave film, which is the film, a film where you get that horrible sense of kind of like encapsulated space and really, you know, sort of, you know, high breathe moments and obviously, you know, sort of really audible low end sounds and so on and so forth. Then throw monsters into the mix. Yeah. I'm sorry, but terrifying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Number two for me. Like you were saying before, it's not the entire film, although you could make arguments that the entire film isn't in an enclosed place, but for one particular scene is James Cameron's The Abyss. Yes, it all takes place underwater. They are in an underwater base. You could say the whole thing is kind of claustrophobic, but it's the scene, spoilers for The Abyss, it's the scene where Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio drowns. That sequence is tough.
Yeah.
That's a hard call sequence, and I really that's my favorite moment in that movie is that whole piece where he drags her through. And
I think this is actually number one because I've already given you four.
Wreck,
Panic Room, Old Boy, Descent.
Wreck, Panic Room, Old Boy, Descent. Yeah, you're going up to number one.
Yeah,
yeah, you're going to do number one, then I'm going to do number one because we're doing it in reverse order.
Right? All right, that's where I'm getting.
So my number two is The Abyss. So now your number one is
My number one is one that I don't know whether or not this is going to sit right with you, and it's Over a Whole House.
Okay.
So whether or not you want to argue the point, claustrophobia is the concept of being isolated to the point where you feel like you're suffocating in a place.
Very true.
And I think the very defining term of that is The Shining.
That's a good one, actually. I hadn't even thought about that.
The Shining is isolation in its worst form.
The isolation is what drives him crazy.
What drives him 100% crazy. And it is, and it's the fact that the people that also have to deal with Jack also have no way of getting out of that situation. You are stuck, confined in that place.
That's good lateral thinking. I like that. And my number one, I'm going to kind of wimp out here because it had a much stronger effect on me, is I'm going to say Buried, because I think it is probably the number one claustrophobia film I've ever seen. I do have a couple of honorary mentions.
Okay.
The first honorary mention I want to say was actually my number five until Apollo 13 came into the mix. But my first honorary mention is an old-school Sidney Lumet film called 12 Angry Men. And if you haven't seen 12 Angry Men, the reason why this comes into effect is it all takes place in one room during a heat wave, and there are the 12 jurors trying to decide on a case, and it's all about the infighting in that room. But the atmosphere of that room is so thick with the heat, the fan doesn't work, they're all getting angry at each other, and all you just want to do is get out of this room, and they never leave that room. And it's just these 12 guys in a room, and it's just thick with heat and sweat and, you know, man vibe. And so that's well worth having a look at. And my other honorary mention is, I didn't write it down and it's gone. Oh, forget it. It might come back to me. Okay. It might come back to me. I also want to just mention, though, not as a claustrophobia film, but as a restricted location film, Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat is also fascinating. Because Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat is a bunch of people on a boat, on a lifeboat, who have survived a boat crash, obviously. The boat sunk. And the entire movie takes place on that lifeboat. Yeah. And it's just the interaction of those people on that lifeboat. Fascinating film. And if you ever get a chance, that's also an interesting one to have a look at. Any more you want to throw out there? Honorary mentions or anything?
Snake's got one here. He said, what about Alien?
Oh, Aliens.
Alien actually is a really good choice. I almost put that on. The reason I didn't was it was like The Shining. It came to me at sort of that point in time, so I already had such a big list. But Alien was one I actually thought of as well. And the other one that was brought up that, again, almost hit my list, but again, it was towards the end, was what Delta Knight put up, which was Moon.
Yeah, Moon was the other... What's the other honorary?
Yeah, that's one of those ones where you kind of like, I want to say that
one. The reason why I didn't, and I've got reasons, and we'll find out what your reasons are, but my reason for not bringing Moon up on the list as a feature was the fact that the claustrophobia is not actually the central core of the film. Yes, it is an isolation piece because he's alone, but it's you never actually feel claustrophobic from the film because he does get out. He does go in his truck and drive around and he does have the robot to talk to. And so it's the isolation does play a piece of it, but that's not the main central theme.
Yeah.
So that's why it didn't quite make my list. The other one that was almost on my list, but didn't quite get there, kind of for the same reasons, was Saw. Because Saw, the stuff that takes place in the room between the two guys is really tight, but they do leave that. As an audience member, you do leave that room, and you go off with the cops and this and that. So you're not always stuck in that room. So it didn't quite sell it for me as that theme. But all solid choices. And I gotta say, right now off the bat, hardest goddamn list of five I've ever had to do. Josh, thank you very much.
It's all right. You're welcome.
Hardest goddamn list. I want to do Ryan Reynolds films. Much easier. Anyway.
Hell, they know all you got to do is go to IMDb and click Ryan Reynolds. Come on, I got to make something difficult.
That's true. And next week, I don't know what our list is going to be, but next week our film is going to be Let Me In, the new vampire film remake of
Which
Let
I
the Right One
Very
in.
Excited to watch.
Now, don't get too excited because then you'll get disappointed, all right?
It doesn't happen every time. Sometimes films are actually good.
Now, I will say that I actually had the opportunity to see the film last week, and I'm going to save a review for next week because I want to do this as our central review. So we're going to have Celine on the show as well because she is also very keen to see it. I will say that when it opens on Thursday, so that you can be on the same page as us for the review, you should all go see it.
Yeah.
I will give just kind of a preliminary review and basically say that it was actually surprisingly good.
Don't be turned off it yet.
Yeah, don't be turned off it because it's a remake of Let the Right One In. I was very worried about it because I'm a big fan of Let the Right One In. But it does, as I said to Josh, and then I'll bring this up again next week, but I think it is a very respectful remake.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part. All right. So do go see it, and that way you can join in on our discussion next week. I think we're done, guys.
Yep.
We've got an after show coming up. I've got a few little things we've got for the after show, including, and I'm going to spoil it, I'm going to bury the lead a little bit. I'm going to say...
Buried. Because it was the film.
I'm going to say, all I'm going to say about the after show this week is, sandwich in a can.
Yeah, way to spoil it, man. Now I know everything about
all right,
about.
So sandwich in a can. All right, we're going to get out of here. If you agree or disagree. Now, the few new features we're going to throw out here. First of all, Josh, tell the listeners of Film Actually, because they weren't involved in it, all about Dropbox.
All right, guys, we have a Dropbox account set up for Geek Actually now. If you want to be a member, email us at either the feedback website or me or Dave's email. If you have,
I'll bring up that feedback
or,
on the screen.
Jump into the chat room while live and just say you want to become a member of it. Basically, the Dropbox is for anyone we trust enough. We have a box which will allow you to share files with us, and we will also share files with you. So when we get pictures or artwork, When we have particular things, when we have wallpapers or something like that we'd like to throw to you guys, we will create folders in that, and you guys are welcome to help yourself. Be respectful, or otherwise we will remove you or close it down.
No porn, guys.
Exactly.
Look, but, we're not offended by porn, but we really just don't want to have a box full of...
Yeah. Yeah, we just don't want to attract that kind of people to it. That's not what it's for.
And let's face it, nothing illegal either. This is not your opportunity to have a file share, all right?
Exactly. And, keep the sizes kind of under 200 per person, just so that we have enough space to kind of hold everyone
in
there.
Clean it out once in a while. Put stuff up there. We have a look at it. If it's been up there for several weeks, you might want to take it out after a while, you know?
Exactly. Yes. Well, anyway, guys, that's the Dropbox. And the last thing I'm going to pimp is, of course, myself.
Oh, yes. Bring up
the
slide.
So we have rawdlc.com, which is my website. We have a live show. We are all about games and the gaming industry as a whole. Come check us out at 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, which is currently Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Figure it out yourself.
Go online, Google World Clock.
Exactly. But other than that, guys, if you can, just come over and check out the site as well, because it is really fun to have that.
All right, we're going to see if we can do something here. We started this show about an hour ago, so we started the show about 2 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
It's about 1:45, actually, but about 2 o'clock. That means if you're in London, that would have been 4 a.m. If you're Pacific America time, it would have been 8 p.m., but on Friday.
Yeah.
Central time would have been 9 p.m., and Eastern time would have been 11 p.m.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so there you go. That's your... I think that Eastern clock is wrong. But anyway, there's some rough times for you to think about it. Put it this way. In America, we're on Friday evening. Okay? Yeah. Get a world clock. It'll do you good. Oh, shit. Chat room just covered everything up. There we go. Okay. All right. Shane, do you have anything to pimp before I go into the pimp mode?
You can find me if you like on Facebook, Shane Robert Gregory, or you can type in my gamer tag, which is Nexus81.
That's on Xbox Live, right?
On Xbox Live, yeah. You can type that into Facebook as well, and it finds me a bit faster. And I'm also the tech guy on Raw DLC.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yep. He's the tech dude.
Yep.
All right, we'll do a bit of show pimping here really quickly, and then we're going to get out of here. First of all, as I said before, if you agree, disagree with us on our takes on films, or you just want to recommend something to us, or you've got to get something off your chest, you can send it to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can drop us a voicemail. We have a voicemail line as well. Our voicemail line is 02801131167. That is, of course, a Sydney number. If you are international, you can send us a request to get onto our Skype list. Our Skype ID is Geek Actually, and that way you can do things for free. Okay, so, and you can leave us voicemails either way through that. Now, we also have to plug a couple of our friends really quickly, and then we'll do some individual stuff. First of all, during our tech show, he was actually in our chat room, but he's obviously had to head off because it gets very late in America. But Movie Fan Cast and Right This Instant are two wonderful podcasts that you can also listen to. If you haven't had enough movie talk, this is some more stuff for you to talk about, to listen to. Movie Fan Cast, hosted by Charlie and Jesse, and Right This Instant, hosted by Brad. You can find both of these shows at moviefanhouse.com or search for them on iTunes. The other friend that we want to pimp out, of course, are our very good friends over at the Real Junkies podcast, which you can find at weekendronan.com or search for them on iTunes. That would be R-E-E-L for real. And they are basically like us, but they like to get drunk and do their reviews under the influence of tequila. And they're a lot of fun. And there's a bunch of guys there, and they all talk, and they all have different opinions, and it's kind of fun to watch. And not watch. Listen to. That's what I meant to say. We also want to throw out a very quick plug to our friend Josh Spencer, who is a cartoonist, who did our wonderful new logos, which you'll see in the opening credits and over the site. He's at attackninja.blogspot.com. And his work is now on a whole bunch of T-shirts and mugs and all sorts of stuff, which you can find over at cafepress.com.au/geekactually. So you can go and purchase stuff there and help support this show. We also have a fan page, facebook.com/geekactually. And if you're a Twitter user, twitter.com/DavidMcVeigh. You can follow us on any of these things. And if you are an audio listener and want to know what all these visual images and all the things we are talking about, we do record this show live, typically every Saturday at about 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. We start at 12, but we do a tech show first. We do Tech Actually, which I have. Now, are these going to freak out on me again? Let's have a look. Tech Actually? Yeah, they're all too big again. But anyway, we do a podcast for Tech Actually, and we also do a podcast called the Geek Actually After Show, as well as this show. And you can find all of these on iTunes. Just search iTunes for any of those names, or type in Geek Actually. Funnily enough, you'll find us, because they're all listed under Geek Actually. All right, so and you can also go to geekactually.com. Now, we have a couple of new things. First of all, we're trying to reinvigorate our forums. Go over and join the forums, geekactually.com/forum, or there's a great big link right on the front of the homepage. The reason why I say go join the forums is because we're going to be starting to put a whole bunch of new stuff in there. First of all, our lists of five that we put up in the Film Actually show are now being printed in the forum. Okay, so if you want to find out a copy of our lists of five, you can always find it in the forums after the show. That started last week. Second thing we're doing is for the film buffs. If you think you know what the clip is that we show at the beginning of our film show, because you know that we actually gave you a few weeks head start. Now you'll realize that every week the clip is different. And it takes a little bit of time to dig these clips out. Some are obvious, some are slightly more obscure. And we actually challenge you as film buffs to tell us what film it is we are playing at the beginning of our show. We put the post up on Friday afternoon, and then I will answer it. If nobody has got the right answer, I will answer it on Friday before the new show. Okay, there's no prizes. It's just for the fun of it. Okay, start throwing your ideas into the forum. Go over there, and we're also going to start doing more things like polls and all sorts of stuff. We're going to try and reinvigorate that forum up a little bit. The other thing I wanted to... Oh, and of course, you'll find out all of our information about the Unofficial Geek Actually Movie Club, where we put up our session details, because every week we go to the movies and we invite everybody to come along with us. So that's where you'll find the session times and stuff. That's where we're going to be. All right. I think that's it. Are we done?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Yes.
Nothing
yeah,
else?
Yeah.
Nothing else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Normally we would go out with a sample of the soundtrack for the film that we just reviewed, but I searched high and low. The Buried soundtrack isn't available yet. Yeah. So I don't have a copy of it, but I do have a little bit more Mozart for you. Because we play Mozart at the beginning of the show, I thought we would play a little bit more Mozart for you to round us out. And so this week is not part of the not the score for the film, but a little bit of Mozart. I will say, in the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we're going to get out of here.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you to everybody.